Hello, friends, and welcome to The Daily Good, a podcast filled with upbeat news, thoughts, music, and inspiration from all around the world. Good things are happening every day, but sometimes they're hard to find, so this podcast is a daily collection of the good stuff. It's important for us to stay active and aware of the concerns in the world around us, but it's also vital to give yourself time to reframe and refocus in your daily routine. And we could all use reminders of the good in the world and the great things that are happening everywhere, every day. So with that said, here's today's Daily Good. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Daily Good podcast. My name's Peter, and it is Friday, everyone. We did it. We have made it to the end of another week together, and I couldn't be more delighted. Thank you all so much for joining me for another Friday edition of the podcast, helping to launch us into the weekend with a little bit more peace and serenity. Hopefully. That's the goal anyway. That's the big plan for the next 15 or 20 minutes or so. I am off on the right foot, as it were, because if you listen very carefully in the background, you'll probably hear the sound of the washer and dryer running, which means I'm doing laundry. And I'm one of those weird people that really enjoys the sound of a washer and dryer, and I enjoy the sound of a dishwasher running. They're just very soothing sounds to me that mean some toil is being done without me having to do it. You know, the elbow grease is being put in by actual grease. So that's something that makes me very content. And so I find myself smiling a little bit and feeling very warm and relaxed at this moment. How are you doing on this Friday? I hope that you are accomplishing whatever needs to be accomplished before the weekend begins, and that you can get into that weekend with a lovely sense of accomplishment, that you have ticked a bunch of necessary boxes, and that the rest that you may be getting at the weekend is well-earned, well-deserved. Certainly, as we head into the podcast, we're going to do what we always do, which is to just pause for a moment and take a slow, deep breath in together, and then let it out again really slowly. And with that, let's get into the first good news story for this Friday podcast, which is all about the Earth Prize. Now, the Earth Prize is an annual competition, and it's in its third year this year, and it celebrates young people anywhere between the ages of 13 and 19 who are innovating to help save the planet. It's run by an organization called the Earth Foundation, and it got entries from 10,000 teenagers from over 2,000 schools, and they are now competing for $100,000 in prize money to help them scale up their ideas. Peter McGarry, who is founder of the Earth Foundation, said, quote, "We launched the Earth Prize to channel the obvious passion and frustration young people had towards the environment into something positive and productive. This third year of solutions shows again an incredible commitment from young people in over 100 countries to make a positive change." That takes us next to The Good Word, the segment of the podcast where we turn to the power of great language to improve our lives every single day. Well, all this week we have been hearing wonderful quotes from the brilliant Buddhist philosopher and monk Thich Nhat Hanh, and our quote for today is fairly lengthy, so I won't be doing a whole lot of discussion about it, but it is so worth hearing in its entirety. "When you plant lettuce, if it does not grow well, you don't blame the lettuce. You look for reasons it is not doing well. It may need fertilizer, or more water, or less sun. You never blame the lettuce. Yet, if we have problems with our friends or family, we blame the other person. But if we know how to take care of them, they will grow well, like the lettuce. Blaming has no positive effect at all, nor does trying to persuade using reason and argument. That is my experience. No blame, no reasoning, no argument, just understanding. If you understand, and you show that you understand, you can love, and the situation will change. You can see now, I think, why I wanted to share the whole quote. I didn't want to break it up into little parts and spread it out over a couple of days. The whole metaphor hangs very well together, and I really like his argument there. I really like the way he kind of plots it all out, and it does make an awful lot of sense. So I'm just going to read the whole thing one more time. When you plant lettuce, if it does not grow well, you don't blame the lettuce. You look for reasons it is not doing well. It may need fertilizer, or more water, or less sun. You never blame the lettuce. Yet, if we have problems with our friends or family, we blame the other person. But if we know how to take care of them, they will grow well, like the lettuce. Blaming has no positive effect at all, nor does trying to persuade using reason and argument. That is my experience. No blame, no reasoning, no argument, just understanding. If you understand, and you show that you understand, you can love, and the situation will change. Thich Nhat Hanh. That takes us to Good to Know, the segment of the podcast where I try to dazzle you with fascinating facts and trivia on any subject that I choose. Well, all this week, and indeed all next week as well, it's fascinating facts and trivia about women's history, because it's Women's History Month here in the United States, all the month of March. So here is your very brief but great fact for the Women's History Month for today. Marie Curie was the first person and the only woman to receive two Nobel Prizes. So she, of course, was a scientist, and her research on radioactivity led her to discover two new elements. She also researched the atom, and her findings were integral in scientific advancements related to atomic bombs and medicine. She was the first woman to win a Nobel Prize, and she is the first person and only woman to win two Nobel Prizes. She won the Nobel Prize in Physics in 1903 and the Nobel Prize in Chemistry in 1911. Good to know. That brings us to our second good news story, and this is some good news for both mental health and beautiful nature. Because we have yet more evidence that spending time in nature is good for our mental health. So research by a wildlife charity called Butterfly Conservation, as well as the University of Derby in England, found that people taking part in the UK's annual Big Butterfly Count felt less anxious afterwards. The researchers studied 382 people, both before and after the three-week-long count, and they recorded a 9% reduction in anxiety among participants. That's pretty good, just for going out and counting butterflies. Dr. Richard Fox, who's head of science at Butterfly Conservation, said, quote, "While we have long known that there is a link between nature and human well-being, this study is the first to prove that the simple act of looking for and counting butterflies leads to a measurable decrease in anxiety. The results suggest that citizen science projects such as the Big Butterfly Count can play a part in improving people's mental health, as well as gathering important data on how butterflies are faring to inform our conservation work." That takes us to Wonderful World, the segment of the podcast where we get to travel all over this big, beautiful planet of ours together, thanks to the marvels of modern technology. Well, I have had a really spectacular time all of this week sharing with you some videos from one of my favorite YouTube channels, Great Big Story. And today, we have yet another remarkable, very short, you know, mini documentary from those guys about a beautiful town in the Netherlands. The town is called Giethoorn. And the thing that makes this town stand out from others is the fact that there are no roads in the town. Which is not to say that it's all walking paths or all cycling paths or that people swing from tree to tree on ropes. It is, in fact, that the town's businesses and homes are all connected by a series of small canals and waterways. And it's absolutely beautiful. There's a charm about it that is absolutely undeniable. And, as you can imagine, in a town where there are no cars, no buses, anything like that, no trucks, there's a pace to the life that is very evident and very relaxed. And obviously, I am drawn to that. So this is now on the ever-growing list of places that I wish to visit at some point in my life, Giethoorn in the Netherlands. So click on the link in the show notes for this segment of today's episode, and it'll take you over to YouTube, where you can spend a little over 2.5 minutes learning about the residence and the lifestyle of Giethoorn in the Netherlands. That brings us to the rotating segment of the podcast. So every day of the week, this segment has a different theme. And on Fridays, we wrap up the week in good company, where I get to share with you a person that I think might be some good company if you ever got to spend time with them, if you were ever given the chance, and occasionally, if you were also given a time machine. Well, today, sadly, you would need both, because it's all about Douglas Adams. So it was Douglas Adams's birthday back on the 11th, so back on Monday. It was the anniversary of his birth, and I have talked about him off and on, throughout the course of this week. But it's hard for me to overstate just how much of an influence Douglas Adams's writing had on me as a person. It presented me with a completely different type of humor than I had ever come across in my life. The very dry but very, very smart type of English humor that exists out there. I had never come across anything quite like it. I should also say, I read The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy for the first time when I was 10. So it's not like, you know, it came along when I was 30 and changed my world. It changed my world when I was 10. And I had always enjoyed writing and considered myself, you know, a writer. I wanted to be a writer when I grew up. But boy, when I came across The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, that 100% cemented in my mind that that was the direction that I wanted to take my life. I wanted to essentially grow up to be Douglas Adams. I never got the chance. Douglas Adams himself, unfortunately, passed away when he was only 49 years old. He passed away due to undiagnosed coronary artery disease right after he had finished a workout in Montecito, California. Now, he had moved to California in 1999 with his wife and his daughter, ostensibly to kind of get away from the craziness of London and to be closer to Hollywood, where people had been threatening to make a movie out of Hitchhikers for a very, very long time. So he was there for that. Plus, he really kind of liked it. But sadly, he passed away very unexpectedly and far, far too early. Well, what I've found for you today is a talk that he gave at the University of California, Santa Barbara, just about a month before he died. So this is one of the latest things that you can see in his life. And it's a wonderful opportunity to hear him expounding on his favorite book, which also happens to be my favorite book that he wrote, which is called Last Chance to See. Now, again, I've mentioned it earlier. I'll let him explain it because he does so right at the beginning of the talk. But give yourself some time, either today or tomorrow, to sit and watch this. He is a brilliant and engaging speaker. He is unbelievably funny, but not in a stand-up comedian sort of way, just in that very clever and thoughtful sort of way. But the lecture itself weighs in at nearly an hour and a half. So do give yourself time to settle in and take it all in. But it is well worth your time. So that is my suggestion for your good company today. Click on the link in the show notes for this segment of today's episode, and it'll take you over to YouTube, where you can spend an hour and a half in the very good company of Douglas Adams. And we wrap up the podcast today with Sounds Good, the segment where I get to talk to you about music and musicians that I love. And today is the anniversary of the birth of one of the greatest trumpeters of the swing era, Harry James, who was born on March 15th in 1916 in Georgia, although he spent a lot of his life traveling around with a circus and spent quite a few of his formative years in Texas. So he always sort of considered himself a Texan. Harry James stuck around with us for a while. He passed away at the age of 67. In 1983, and he had a pretty darn glamorous life. For a while there, in the mid-40s into the mid-60s, he was married to the incredibly beautiful film star Betty Grable. If you've ever seen that sort of classic World War II pinup of a girl with very long legs with her back to the camera, but she's looking back over her shoulder, that was Harry James's wife. That was Betty Grable. Harry James was smart, he was funny, but he was a startlingly talented trumpet player. And any trumpeters that know what they're talking about will tell you that what made him stand out was his tone on his horn. It was remarkably warm and broad, but for better or for worse, he was also staggeringly good at playing in the high register. And of course, you know, that's a very exciting thing for a lot of listeners. When a trumpet player goes for those really high notes, it's just very exciting. So he did a lot of that, and he played a lot of very showy pieces. He was known for playing Flight of the Bumblebee, which is, of course, a very, very fast classical piece of music. He could do a lot of flashy stuff, is what I'm saying. But he really packed a wallop when you got to hear him play on ballads or even just mid-tempo swing numbers. He was a delightful musician, and it's fun to watch him on stage because his warmth really comes through in his persona and in his playing. So what I'm sharing with you today is a performance of Harry James and his orchestra on the Ed Sullivan Show in July of 1960, and they're playing his theme song, which is a brilliant tune called 2 o'clock Jump. Harry James basically took Count Basie's theme song, 1 o'clock Jump, added a couple of riffs to make it his own, and gave it just one more number. It's a brilliant performance. Harry is in fine form. You also get to see a brilliant alto sax player named Willie Smith take a lively solo as well. So happy birthday to the brilliant Harry James. Click on the link in the show notes for this segment of today's episode. Head on over to YouTube, and you can spend a couple of minutes watching Harry James and his orchestra as they perform the 2 o'clock Jump. And that's it for today's Daily Good. There are links to many of today's segments on the website at the-daily-good.com. Make sure to check out our Instagram account and Twitter feed to get more of the Daily Good every day. Our theme music, On the Sunny Side of the Street, was recorded by the brilliantly talented Jonathan Stout. thank you again so much for joining me, and come back anytime you need a boost.